بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Let me do the last two hadith under this chapter of commanding one's family, training one's children, take on those that are in one's care, and also teaching them and teaching them what to do and prohibiting them from disobeying Allah Ta'ala, and also training them and forbidding them from indulging in the prohibited things. So today's hadith in Amr ibn Shu'ayb عن أبيه عن جده رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مروا أولادكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء 7 سنين واضربوهم عليها وهم أبناء 10 وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. هذا الأمر ابن شعيب narrates from his father, from his grandfather رضي الله تعالى عنهم, that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that command your children to perform salah when they are 7 years old, and punish them for not doing so when they are 10 years old, and separate their beds. The second riwayat, the last riwayat in this chapter, under this chapter, has a very similar wording but slight difference. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this hadith when Abi Thurayyata Sabrat ibn Ma'badin al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu qal qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allimu as-sabiyya as-salata li 7 sinin wadribuhu alayha ibn 10 sinin. That Abu Thuriyya Sabra ibn Ma'bad al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that teach a child to perform salah when he is 7 years old, and punish him for not doing so when he is 10 years old. Ulama explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us, telling us that from a young age we have to teach the children about salah. And teaching the children about salah means that teaching the children about the times of salah, the etiquettes of salah, the rules and laws of salah, those things that are necessary in salah, those things that a child should avoid in salah, the postures of salah, where to look in salah. In other words, everything with regard to salah, start teaching them from a young age. Because this is one of the most fundamental pillars of Islam after iman is salah. And the first thing a person will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah is the salah. So the salah is something that is very important. Therefore, it has to be instilled in the child from a young age. When he's got it instilled in him in a young age, later on in life it becomes very easy, it becomes like his routine, part of his life, to continue with this salah. So normally what happens is we teach our children and we train them as far as education is concerned, all that is good. But these things we forget to teach them. Sometimes the child is sent for soccer training, for coaching and for cricket coaching, how to bat and how to hit the ball and how to bowl. But did we ever take our time to send the child or to teach our child ourselves how to read salah? And what is the postures of salah? How a person supposed to go down from ruku? When he's in ruku, where is his sight supposed to be? When he's sajda, where he should be looking? When is he sitting in tashahud, where he should be looking? Where his hand should be? How he should put his hands in sajda? All these things are very important part of a person's life. More important than the cricket coaching and the soccer coaching is this basic coaching. Does my child know how to read his salah? So when he's of age, at least his salah is being done properly. Person doesn't know how to play or hit the ball properly, the worst it will happen, he'll get out. The person doesn't know how, child doesn't know how to read his salah properly, what will happen to that child? Whole life his salah may be invalid because he doesn't know how to place it. For one simple example, person is in sajda and he leaves his feet raised, his feet is not touching the ground. When you find many people that whilst they're in sajda, their feet are lifted up. So these simple things, but they make a very big difference. So nowadays you find that young boys, they just, some leg is paining a little bit, they can perform salah standing, but they're sitting on the chairs. So now when there's no valid reason for a person sitting on a chair and he sits on the chair, then that salah also is invalid. So all these laws have to be taught. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that encourage or command your children to perform salah. Punish them doesn't mean you must injure them. Punish them means beat them lightly, or that they'll take a lesson from it, that when they're 10 years old, now is not the time for me to be missing my salah. Now is not the time for me to taking salah lightly. This is something that is very serious. So here we are taught also that age of the child has to be considered before any type of reprimanding is made. Not that they reprimand at any age. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us that consider the age also. And now they're getting closer to buluh, to become bi'ad baligh. So therefore, be more stern with them. And then the last part of this first hadith we did, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when they are 10 years old, separate their beds. Separate the beds. In other words, don't let them sleep together in one bed. Ulama explained, there's great hikmat in it. Allama Tibi rahmatullahi stated that the command of salah and separating the sleeping is to teach the children etiquette, to protect the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to create a sound system of human interaction, and to avoid all avenues of doubt leading to those things that are prohibited. In other words, from the time the child is young, now he's 10 years old, he knows that anything that can lead to any type of doubt, I must be separated from that. If I'm going to be sleeping in one bed with another child, there can be some type of suspicion or doubt that is going to be created. Not that it is there, it can be, but from a young age I'm taught that I must separate myself from all type of doubt. I must separate myself from those places and create any type of suspicion. So I must close the avenue of any type of sin from the time I'm small. I'm taught, my Nabi has taught me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I must separate myself. It's a lesson for us also, that we are taught to separate the child from any type of doubt from so small. How can we get involved in anything that is doubtful? How can we get involved in anything that is haram? When this innocent child is taught that he must move aside from that thing that can lead to anything that is doubtful. While the command is for them to sleep in separate beds, they should be separated into rooms where space permits. Where it's possible and a person has got enough space, then ideally now you should actually start separating them, because as the children are growing, so they need their own space to change, they need their own space. So if it allows, if there is that allowance, then so be it. If there isn't, then there's no problem that they sleep in one room, but so long as their beds are separated. So here we see so many things are being taught to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is the importance of salah. The next thing is we're learning that the importance of the laws of salah. And the other thing is to teach the children that anything that can bring about any type of suspicion, now they're growing up, they must separate themselves, keep themselves away, so that one day when they are big and they are of age, wrong, and I must keep myself away from anything that will cause any type of suspicion or doubt entering into my life. Time is run out, but inshallah tomorrow we'll mention an incident of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Can we just mention it quickly? That so careful these people were about any type of suspicion. They were so careful that suspicion mustn't come into our lives, suspicion mustn't enter, that on one occasion in Kufa, that some stolen stock of goats were brought in. Just a small contingent, maybe a few goats were brought in. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he was asked that what is the maximum lifespan a goat can live? So he was told maximum it can live is 7 years. You won't, very rarely you'll get something living more than 7 years. 7 years is the maximum lifespan that it can live. So it mentioned that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that although there were hundreds of thousands of goats in Kufa, hundreds of thousands of goats in Kufa, and it was, what chance it is that these few goats that were stolen were brought in, were mixed. It was mixed, but what chance of him buying that? And even day today, for the fact that a person has bought it in the halal way, that will make it permissible. But yet his level of taqwa was so high, for 7 years he didn't eat any goat meat. Allah Ta'ala must save me from eating something that is stolen. So this was that we shouldn't get into anything haram. So this is what is being taught to us here. Anything that can do evil, he keeps himself away from. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.